are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Just because you have three strokes in 3 weeks that paralyze you doesn't mean that you can't come back. It takes mindset, it takes heart, and it takes will. It can be done. It can be done at any age. How bad do you want it?
Welcome to Serious Growth Podcast. You know, today I want to talk about some stuff that's been going on with me. For those of you who don't know, 10 years ago, I had three strokes in 3 weeks that paralyzed me. And I've talked about this before, how shocking that was. But one of the things that was very interesting, and I've never been the same since, is that emotionally, I have changed. I tied into that when it first happened because it was embarrassing because I would laugh at things that I shouldn't laugh at, just out of the blue. And I would cry at things that I shouldn't. It was so weird. And what made it really difficult for me is, even though I am a person who lives life emotionally, I'm generally not the person that cries. I've always thought of that as being weak. I was raised that way, I guess, in part. And some of that is just my own natural personality. But it was one of the things that was just so weird in my emotional makeup, how that had changed. Obviously, I objectively understood that what I had just gone through was traumatic, even more traumatic than what I thought. I didn't realize really how much I was impacted, you know, and I think some of that had to do with being an athlete. I started, you know, from the year when I age of eight, I was already in athletics. And I think over time that builds who you become. So after having these strokes 10 years ago, it was a radical departure. I mean, it was like somebody wiped my slate clean. If you can imagine that. I was like brand new in the way that I was responding to things, you know? And again, the thing that stands out most to me is the inappropriate times that I was laughing and crying. But one of the things I started slowly learning over time, and for those of you who don't know, I was left with paralysis. I was paralyzed. But one of the things that I started learning over time was a couple things, really, was mindset, how powerful and how important mindset is. I mean, bodybuilding taught me that, and being in athletics taught me that. You have to have a strong mindset to tolerate pain, to tolerate adversity when things aren't really going right for you athletically. And so, you know, bodybuilding taught me that. It's taught me to be very strong mentally. And so having these bouts of weird emotions, I couldn't get a handle on it. And it was even the harder I tried to control that, because I'm that type of person that likes to control stuff as much as I can. It wasn't left up to me. That sounds kind of weird, but it wasn't left up to me. I had to accept that fact. That was very difficult for me to do. Accept a lot of things. At that point, I had to accept the fact that I couldn't move on one side. I had to accept that. Now, mind you, don't misunderstand. I never accepted it to like where I gave up. This is one of the things I started learning. It's like kind of on the job learning. It was like I had to accept the fact that I was in a certain state, you know, with being paralyzed, but I also was in a different state emotionally. And I had to accept that. In other words, I had to kind of roll with the punch and still making sure that I was not going to let the adversity that I was in, that I was going to give up. No, as hard as that was sometimes, you know, when you all of a sudden you can't figure, you don't know where your limbs are in bed, it's pretty scary. And then when you start reacting, like, you know, all of a sudden I have this, my anger, I was triggered in a different way. I was responding to just stuff like that. I was like, where is it coming from?
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
But one thing that I did is I stayed in the game. And this is kind of what I'm talking to you, to not only you serious growthers, but you silverbackers out there, because, you know, the longer you're around, the more stuff's going to happen to us. That's just the way it is. Just law of nature, law of averages. And it's I'm not telling you anything that you haven't heard before, but it's what you do with it. But that's much easier said than done. That's for sure. Learning how to, now with me having a different programming in a way, I had to learn how to deal with that. And what was I going to do with all that? But here's the surprise. Here's one of the things that really surprised me. Because to this day, and I've just gone through this, this is kind of what I want to talk about. What was happening to me along the way as I was overcoming my strokes, mentally, emotionally, and physically, was that I noticed a couple of things. I noticed that when I pushed myself, in other words, I did something that was uncomfortable for me. I think we all have to do that, just generally speaking, because we get into these comfort zones. I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but it could be. And one of the things that I was constantly doing was pushing myself to the next level, which sometimes was scary, you know, even if it was just like doing an exercise where I had to do more weight, a little thing, because, you know, it's, man, I got, you know, here's a guy that was up to 250 pounds competing at that weight. I mean, 310 pounds off season. I was huge, man. And all of a sudden to find myself at 204 pounds, weak, fragile. It was so weird to see that version of me. I mean, there was all kinds of emotions with that. Not to mention not knowing if I'd ever recover. I mean, it was just a complete. Now, I've talked about compartmentalizing situations like that, and I think it's really important. But what I started learning is that every time I put myself in an uncomfortable spot, I remember one that flashes me right now is when I had my wife drive me to the bank. I wanted to go make a deposit, a simple thing like that. Can you imagine? I was scared shitless. People are going to notice that there's something wrong with me. I'm impaired. That was playing games with me because I was impaired. The way I spoke, the way I walked, that was a hard thing for me to accept, especially being in the sport of bodybuilding where you're narcissistic and your vanity is off the charts. It was like learning a whole new language, man. It really was. But every time I did something like that, that was uncomfortable, and I actually did it. I went into the bank and I made the deposit. I did that transaction. I would get so emotional over that. I'd get choked up. I would start fucking crying. I mean, I hate to admit it, but I can do it now. I would start crying. And then So as time was going on and I'm improving, here's the stuff that is still going on. And this is where I'm at right now with what I want to tell you. 10 years later, here's what's going on. I'm still very emotional. I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. And I'll never be. That's not a bad thing. That's just an observation. But when I start getting really emotional now, because I do, I have these bouts where I'm extra emotional. I mean, I can't even, like right now, I'm going through a phase right now where I can't even watch TV, hardly. I'm constantly choking up. But I started tying into the fact that when I start getting emotional like that for just no reason at all, I got nothing that's going on that should make me feel that way. But every time I've gotten extra emotional, something is about to, I'm going to have a breakthrough is what I'm saying. As much as I'm 100% recovered, only I know that I'm not exactly 100%, okay? But no one else can tell. But I can tell. It's very small things. Now, I'm still working for that 100% feeling the way I did before as far as how I handle my physicality, being physical and how the way I do a set, for example. I still want that. It's hard. But I know that every time I start getting extra emotional, something is going to go on and it's going to be great. And I've had this for the last 2 weeks. What the fuck? You know, I'm thinking. So I just start like hide and watch. Leo, something's going to break. Something's going to break through. And I'll be a son of a gun, man. And it's happened now. It wasn't a fluke, but it happened on my bench press. You know, 10 years ago, I was able to bench press way over 225 pounds. And then when I had my strokes, I couldn't lift the bar. I could lift the bar, you know, at an angle because I was really weak on one side, the side that I was impaired from the stroke. I could barely lift the bar, do one rep. I mean, one that looked like a good rep. And here's 10 years later. And just recently, I had this breakthrough that just blew me away. And it happened again today. I got underneath the bar and I've been working my way up to doing more weight. Not, you know, I'm a big believer of doing more reps than more weight, but I'm still tied into the fact that I want to be strong. And I've been slowly but surely working my way back up. So I got to this point now, 10 years later, where I could get like 185 pounds, a 45 pound plate on each side and a 25 pound plate on each side. And I had to really suck up for it. But my first set that I did was I could do like one rep. For some reason, I wasn't ready to do that. You know, back in the day when from Bulgaria, one of the things that I learned was that you can teach your body to be ready on demand. But no matter how much I psyched up for this 185, my first, and this was happening for months that I was doing this 185. And my first set would be one rep. But then I noticed that by the third set, I was able to get three. And, you know, I had to learn how to realign my body because, you know, when you're impaired like that, you start developing bad habits. That doesn't only happen to somebody who's been impaired. I think sometimes we just get into bad habits no matter what we do. And that happens in a weight room all the time. You develop a bad habit and it's hard to break that. So I was having to break all these habits of, you know, because I had to overcompensate because my body wasn't working the same on my one side as it was the other. So that's the reason why it took so long, you know, with this 185, because when I got to that 185 where I could do three reps, I wasn't doing it with very good form. I was just getting it up. I think that's really an important process, though. Even though it was not good form, I wasn't going to stay like that. But I had to teach myself and I had to show myself the way that, okay, you can do that. That changes the way you think instead of there's no way I can do it. So when I got to that point, that's when I started. I went back, started over. I went down to 135, and I started now working on my form, and now doing more repetitions. Well, here's the long story of all that. So I'm at 185 now for 10 years, not for 10 years, but it took me 10 years to get to the 185. And the best that I could do was 3 sets with quite a bit of rest in between. And the best that I could do is by the 3rd set, I can do 3 reps. And then I'm going back to now when I all of a sudden I'm like really emotional, crazy emotional, almost to the point I don't anymore watch TV. But something clicked in my mind and my body. I could feel it. I knew the feeling. I knew that I was going to come in, and it happened a week ago. I was going to come in and I was going to do that 185 more than 3 times. I was going to do it more than 3 times the first time. And I did. I did it 4 times, and I did the 2nd and 3rd set. I did 4 reps. I came back in this morning. I already knew it's something that I just know. Maybe you guys have, and gals, maybe you felt like this before. Have you ever felt like you just know it? Today, when I did 185, got underneath the bar. And I'm going to tell you something. I cranked out 5 reps, and they were perfect fucking reps. Everything felt exactly like they did when I was 10 years prior to that, when I was doing bench pressing. Not only that, I came back 4 more times, and I did 5 reps each time. It doesn't sound like it's a lot. It's huge. I have experience to a degree superhuman strength. I don't know exactly where it's coming from, other than something has clicked inside me. And it gets even better. I had a 20 pounds, 205. Doesn't seem like a lot. Huge. I haven't done that in 10 years. I cranked out a rep. I could have done 3 reps. I'm that strong. Something has clicked. Which goes to show you, you know, bodybuilding, even when you're completely healthy, to put on muscle and to create a physique that's aesthetically pleasing from top to bottom takes a lot of years. That is in part what's kept me in this game, besides the fact that I'm very competitive against myself constantly. I want to get this right, no matter what. It took 10 years for me to feel like this is exactly how I felt 10 years ago underneath this bar. I recognize it. I can't even believe it, but I recognize it. What a beautiful thing. And I just needed to share that with you. For those of you who are struggling out there, the most important thing is that you just stay in the game. That's the most important thing, because something's going to click. Something's going to change. And you just know it. And then when you just know it, and then it happens, wow. Wow. Confidence. I feel like I can't be stopped, even to the point where I know that I can't let myself go too far out there. I know how I am. I remember. And today was a good snapshot of there's more to come for me. I know that. I'm so excited about that. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you. But what I want to talk about actually now is the high fat diet. I listen to a lot of people that come on TV, doctors, and you know, I've interviewed quite a few people on my show about the high fat diet. The high fat diet, for those of you, it really comes under different names. The keto diet is also a high fat diet. Dr. Atkins, many years ago, he had the low-fat diet. He called it the low-carbohydrate diet. He did that because he wanted to make it more commercially acceptable to the public, because even to this day, but especially back then, everyone thought that fat was the culprit. In other words, if you eat fat, you're going to get fat. So it didn't make too much sense, and I got to understand that. saying that it was a high-fat diet. Vince Gironda, as we go back further, some of you might remember him, the Iron Guru. He was way ahead of his time. He was zero carbs and a high-fat diet. But one of the things I find that's really lacking in today's environment with, you know, the high-fat diet now, the keto made, I think, the high-fat diet kind of sexy. I wrote a book with Dr. Martin DePasquale. I co-wrote the book with him, and it was called The Anabolic Diet. So some of you may have purchased the book, and maybe you just know about it. But it's all those diets that I'm talking about are all one and the same as far as which metabolism it engages. You have two metabolisms in your body. You have a glucose metabolism, and you have a free fatty acid metabolism. One of those metabolisms are working at any one time, not both of them, not efficiently. And some people don't know that. And the way that some of these people are explaining it on TV, I can tell that they don't really know and understand the diet to a nth degree. They don't understand how one of the knocks on the high-fat diet has been that it's not sustainable, because there isn't much variety in a high-fat diet as there is in a glucose diet. To some degree, that's true, but there is a lot more variety and some things that you can actually do if you really understand the diet, and you understand, more importantly, how your physiology is impacted by that particular diet. And I'm talking now the high-fat. And one of the things that I don't hear is this. This is the big one for me. I don't hear people talking about the amount of grams that need to be taken to engage the free fatty acid metabolism. Free fatty acid, FFA, FFA, that is the fat metabolism that you start, that your body switches to, where your body starts using fat as its main energy source. And how that simply happens is that lowering your carbohydrate intake to 30 grams, you can go less, you don't have to. And I don't hear people talking about that, how you have two different metabolisms. And this is how you switch metabolisms. And that it takes 3 days of being on 3 days consecutively, lowering your carbohydrates to 30 grams. Before your body actually switches over. It doesn't just switch immediately. But I don't hear people talking about that. Look, that's huge as far as how, because most people say, well, I need my carbohydrates and I can't live without them. And that's very true, but for reasons that you might not be aware of. Carbohydrates are sugar. Let's just face it. It's short chain and long chain sugars. Carbohydrates are very addictive. In fact, I've read in some articles that what we know now about sugar, carbohydrates, we would now have to have a prescription in order to eat carbohydrates. It's that addictive. I know that because I was severely addicted to carbohydrates, like a lot of people are. Listen, most people are on a high carbohydrate diet or a carbohydrate glucose metabolism. And if you ever wonder, you know, if you're addicted to that, go on a high fat diet, because that'll make it a very clear. It'll be very obvious to you, because after about the third day, at the end of the third day, when your body is transitioning now, when there's no more carbohydrate, the ports, there's two ports of entry, just to keep it layman. One port is where the glucose comes in, the other port is free fatty acid. When that carbohydrate port shuts down and you've been on high fat for 3 days in a row and your body is now transitioning, holy shit would be the best way to explain that. Because you're going to have an effect that some people feel like they have the flu, kind of the blue flu, the flu. They're lethargic, they have headaches, they have no energy. And they're, you know, from day three, what happens on a high fat diet when your body really starts now, getting used to that free fatty acid being its main energy source, what you learn about the high fat diet is that once you get past that critical 3 days and you get through the headaches, and you know, some people respond more than others, but listen, we all have those symptoms to some degree. But what you realize is that the further that you get away from those, that third day, all of a sudden your energy levels actually get much better, because the fat that your body is utilizing is a longer lasting energy. So you have a much higher level of energy for longer periods of time. And a good example of that is for those of you who are on a typical glucose diet, how many times have you eaten, for example, Chinese food? Because Chinese food has a lot of like rice and the starch like that. How many times have you eaten Chinese food and then 2 hours later you're starving? Well, in part it's because the carbohydrate, you're eating so many carbohydrates that your body it goes up with all the energy that you're getting, and then it crashes. But when you take that away, like in a high fat diet, you are going to feel like you're an addict to some degree. I did. It's like your withdrawals, you're having withdrawals from not having sugar. Now, keep in mind that the misnomer is that you need carbohydrates for energy. That's a big thing that I've heard over the years. Well, but you need carbohydrates, otherwise you can't function. That's not true. It feels like that when you're going through withdrawals, for sure, but that's not true. Your body's very smart. It knows how to survive. And if you do need some carbohydrate, it's for your brainstem. And your body simply just takes protein, because when you're eating a high-fat diet, it's also high protein. It's high fat and high protein. And what your body knows how to do is take a carbon out of protein, and it does convert it into some sugar. Your brainstem doesn't need that much sugar, but it does that just enough to keep you healthy. It's a healthy diet, no matter what anybody tells you. Fat is not the culprit. Never has been. We've been misled to a large degree. In fact, one of the best way the culprit obviously is carbohydrate. What happened way back in the, I don't know, it was probably in the late 70s, maybe early 80s or something like that, maybe 80s, the RDA came out and said, fat is a culprit, so we want you to cut your fat out. We were suggesting and recommending that. Cut your fat out of your diet. Low-fat diet was their answer. What happened, people replaced the fat that they took out of their diet with carbohydrates. Fast forward, people got in worse shape on the low fat diet. How in the hell can that be? Well, you're not a product of what you eat. You're more of a product of how much you eat, but not a product of what you eat. So what was happening physiologically, and the reason we got in worse shape back in those days when the RDA came up with this idea, was that physiologically, here's what was happening. People added more carbohydrates, the stuff that we all thought we needed, into the diet. Well, your body can only absorb so much of this sugar. It uses some of the carbohydrates that you're taking as fuel for immediate energy. And then your body has storages. So think of it like these storages underground, where it's in your body though, and that you fill up all these storages with extra glucose in case you need it at some point. And what does it do with the rest of it? Well, in order for you not to get high blood sugar, they call it sweet pea, but your body stores it as a triglyceride. Now, triglyceride is not necessarily a bad thing. Triglycerides are fats. But it's not necessarily a bad thing until the number gets too high. The number that's used as the sort of the default number is 500. 500 or less, you're not in any danger as far as health or heart disease. But when it gets above that, that's when you start having heart disease. We were in worse shape eating a low-fat diet for that very reason. It's hard to wrap your mind around stuff like that, but that's exactly how your physiology operates. Now, one of the things that I learned on the high-fat diet, let's go back to that. The high-fat diet, and again, my original, when I was talking about this, is that what people are not saying. I have never heard anybody say the way that you can make the, like back in the days when Vince was Vince Gironda, the zero carb diet, and Dr. Atkins, in those days, even keto, they weren't talking about carb cycling. Not that I'm aware of. So yeah, I mean, when you're on a high fat diet day in and day out, it's going to get old. Everything does. But because of the fact there aren't quite as many options. But one of the things they were talking about was that you could have carbohydrates. You just had to know when to implement them. And here's how you do that. Carb cycling. You can carb load, carb cycle, 2 consecutive days. Remember that I told you that it takes 3 days for your metabolism to transition. So get this. Again, most people, we did this with our diet, with the anabolic diet. Because most people socialize on the weekend, what we did is have people eat the high-fat diet Monday through Friday. And by the way, when we say high-fat, we mean 60% of your diet should come from saturated fat, at least 56%. Mistake that a lot of people make on that high-fat diet, because again, they still think in their mind that, that fat is the culprit. They ask, well, do you mean lean proteins, low fat, lean? No, Good old saturated fats. That's what your body wants in the high fat diet. It'll work better when you're eating the saturated fat. A lot of people don't know that. And they defeat the whole purpose of that metabolism by eating lean protein. So Monday through Friday, getting back to my point here, Monday through Friday, 60% of the diet was coming from saturated fat. And then you could only eat 120 calories a day, which I think is about 120 calories a day. And then the rest in protein. All right. On the weekend, we could start carb loading now. As long as you were staying on the set calories that you had for yourself, because it's calories in and calories out. It just depends on what your state of goal is. Are you trying to lose weight, maintain, or gain weight? And so you had to make sure that you stayed on whatever caloric intake made sense for whatever goal that you're trying to achieve. So don't, okay, keep that in mind. Otherwise, you could carb load. You don't have to worry in those 2 days about how much protein that you're taking in. Not in 2 days. It wouldn't matter. That makes no difference. And what we found is that you could carb load on the weekend. You would get your fix. Ah, I got carbs. But the beauty of it, because you're only doing it for 2 days, is that you weren't switching metabolisms. And yet you were getting the benefit of getting your fix of carbohydrates. No one talks about that. To this day, I have not heard that. Maybe I just am not watching enough TV. There's a doctor that came on one of the news channels the other day. I thought she actually knew more than anybody that I've ever talked to or listened to on any kind of programming. She understood that to a degree, but she still wasn't talking about these two different metabolisms. That automatically changes how you're going to feel about doing that diet. When you get carbohydrates for a couple of days, then you go back to Monday through Friday, you go back to a high-fat diet, you're still getting some residual of the carbohydrates, but you're still in free fatty acid metabolism. It's actually kind of a game changer. And I can tell you something else, a couple of things. It takes about 3 weeks of doing that cycle before you have actually gotten past the addiction. I was so addicted to carbohydrates that on Friday, because I knew I was going to have carbs on Saturday and Sunday, this was when I was first doing it, I'd go to bed early, earlier than normal, because I just wanted to get to Saturday and Sunday so I could get my fix of carbohydrates. I mean, it was real. It's an addiction. It's real. Your body is withdrawing Here's another thing that I learned. I also learned that when I was doing this carb loading in the beginning, that I was experiencing those highs and lows, you know, all that sugar, that insulin got in your body and pumped it up, and your energy level would go up, and then all of a sudden you crash. It was a massive crash. But here's what I learned. And here's another thing that I don't hear people talking about, was the benefit of fat when you were carb loading. See, when I was first carb loading, I was just carb loading. I wasn't actually carb loading with any fat. It was just straight carbs. I just wanted that sugar. But I was constantly going up and down as far as my energy levels. I felt lethargic. It was kind of awful. I felt way better during the week when I was doing the high-fat diet. But here's what I learned. When you're eating carbohydrates, and you can do this if you're on a glucose diet. When you're eating carbohydrates and carb loading on a high-fat diet, eat fat along with your carbohydrates. What that does, fat, the macro fat, releases, it controls the release of sugar from the carbs that you're eating. It's a game changer. All of a sudden now, when I added fat, I've talked about it before. If you want to make a baked potato a better carbohydrate, put butter on it for the very reason that I'm talking about. Otherwise, a baked potato, like rice and some other starches, are so high glycemic that they're in and out of your body so fast that it messes with your energy levels. But simply adding the fat makes it a good carbohydrate. That's how you make a baked potato a good carbohydrate. Add fat to your carb loading on the weekend, and all of a sudden it just smooths out your energy. You feel fantastic. Those little nuanced changes like that changes the experience that you have with the high fat diet. And an added benefit, which is sort of counterintuitive to a lot of people, even to this day, is a high fat diet is actually a very healthy diet. It actually is. When you really start understanding physiologically that fat is not the culprit, but carbohydrates are, you'll understand that fat is a healthy diet. In fact, as a trainer, one of the things I learned is if I ever had a client that came in that had issues with their cholesterol being too high, especially the low lipid density protein, cholesterol, the bad cholesterol, they call that. I put them on a high fat diet. And within 2 or 3 weeks, the profile of their LDLs compared to their HDLs changed for the better. So if you wanted to change your overall cholesterol reading, you did what? You add fat to your diet? Yep, that's right. But again, keep in mind, just simply adding fat to your diet, if you're on a glucose diet and you're just simply adding more fat, you're not going to get that same result because carbohydrates are getting in the way because you're in that case, you're in a glucose metabolism. It's like anything else. You know, there's more to it than meets the eye. And there's a lot of ways. I'm not going to say that eating other styles of diets are bad for you and that the high fat or the keto should be the only one that you go on. I think the benefits outweigh any negative on the high fat or the keto or any of those diets. But there's nothing wrong with the Mediterranean diet or different diets that you go on. There really isn't. You really, at the end of the day, you got to figure out what works best for you. But what people don't do enough of to come up with the right strategy for them is they don't go through the process and give enough time to see how each one of these work to find out which one works best for you. The high fat diet, the high protein diet was always the one I was on when I was competing. It just really worked for me. But like I said, you can still know how to utilize fat, even if you're on a glucose diet. If you're finding that you're having issues with, and you're on a glucose diet like most people are, if you're having issues with your energy levels, take a look at how you're eating. Maybe you just need to add some fat to your diet. And as it turns out, the RDA now suggests that you do eat more fat in your diet overall, hence the Mediterranean diet. I think 34% of that, something like that, has fat in it. It just took them a while to catch on, the powers that be, what was really going on. That's not unusual. One of the benefits I've always had as someone who's been a trainer and somebody who's been a bodybuilder is, and I talk about it all the time, is that, again, I just mentioned it, you have to be willing to go through this yourself from firsthand experience, not by just what somebody's telling you. I can tell you this, and what I'm telling you is factual, but it'll never be the same until you do it yourself. It changes the whole thing. All right. Speaking of food, I'm getting hungry. I'm going to go have myself some protein and some fat. Till next time, get some serious growth and go through the process. You'll be amazed at what you learn about yourself.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.